Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Hello and welcome back, everybody. It's funny how quickly the break times go. I can't really introduce myself, I suppose, but I'm just going to do a little bit on mentoring, which is something I'm quite involved in with the local authorities that I work with. I should say that I got a young apprentice at one of the authorities to do my PowerPoint slides, so I wouldn't have picked orange probably, but can't complain. And that means if there's any spelling mistakes, I can go, well, it wasn't me, but it would have been me. You know, a lot of this, I'm assuming most people have got some sort of mentoring program in place. So, you know, if some of this is a bit obvious and easy, then, you know, my apologies. But that's where I'm at. So, so, you know, what is mentoring? We're going to cover that. The different types of mentoring. The benefits of mentoring. How to find a mentor. Supporting the mentoring program. Promoting your mentoring program, and just some really important points to sort of from learning experience from me. You know, I'm very careful in this presentation to bear in mind that everyone's coming at this from a different point of view, so I didn't want to just come in and do sort of from a local authority point of view. Probably goes without saying the importance of mentoring. It's evident as we recognise the value of networking and maintaining relationships throughout our professional career. The value of a good mentor is immeasurable when it comes to learning the tricks of the trade, as well as becoming connected to those in the know and possess the ability to hire. Probably for me, the key word in there is networking. In the work I do in children's services and corporate parenting, one of my biggest messages is, you know, we can sometimes complain about this sort of old boys network of people giving internships and opportunities to young people that may come from a more privileged background, but, you know, within a local authority or within our own networks, we could potentially hold, you know, a massive networking opportunity for the young people that we know. There are different types of mentoring. I think quite often people think of mentoring as an overall process, but don't consider how to break it down and to offer different opportunities through different routes. Obviously, there's an internal mentor, and you know, this is quite simply someone within the organisation. I have my own opinions on this about its usefulness. I think it depends on the size of the organisation, typically, because if it's someone as a manager of some ways, I do find that almost sometimes the feedback process can be turned around as a way of knocking people around the head with a stick. But, you know, buddying people up when they first come into the organisation, finding an older apprentice has just gone through the through the first year can be really valuable. As the practical, I don't know why I've necessarily called it practical. It's simply that I'm distinguishing between the high achiever aspirational mentor and the person who could provide that day-to-day support. And what I mean by that is just someone that could give advice on, you know, what happened in that team meeting? Why did it go wrong? Why have I got in trouble? How could I better deal with them individual situations? Whereas an inspirational mentor can be someone that's maybe more like 10, 15 years older in their career that could really provide that reference point. And this is, you know, it's so obvious in a lot of ways, but, you know, I always, when thinking about measuring success, I always say to people, and some of the young people, especially those that are not in education, employment and training, that are struggling, is, you know, success is different to different people. And I don't care whether you are on the checkout of Tesco's or whether you're in the management scheme of Tesco's or whether you're the CEO of Tesco's. You know, it's what's right for you. And when thinking about mentoring, it's bearing that in mind. I think we can all appreciate the benefits of mentoring. Having honest advice and unbiased, which is where I come from, sort of outside the internal mentor. It provides the opportunity to constantly review career development. We've probably all been in the situation where we've been in training or a conference where you're thinking, oh, I knew all of that. I might be thinking that right now. But still being able to be provided that opportunity to sit down and really think. You know, we're all so crazy in our lives that how often do you really sit down and think about your next career move? Raising expectations and providing inspiration. One of my personal bugbears is is that quite often mentors are, you know, chief execs, managing directors of small businesses locally who are 30 years senior to an apprentice and just so out of reach that the relationship doesn't work in the right way. That, you know, having someone that can provide inspiration to that next step, someone being able to say, well, I did an apprenticeship and I'm 24 rather than 18 and, you know, I've just bought my new car and, you know, I'm getting married, whatever it is, just being able to provide that realistic inspiration. Excellent networking, as I said before. Finding a mentor. For me, I think a lot of this comes back to my sort of children's services background in a way that, you know, when people think about interested in going to a fostering or adopting, and then they approach the local authority, and quite often they'll receive such sort of a pre-warning, understandably, that it's going to be a tough process. But sometimes it can go against all the benefits of fostering and adoption, and mentoring is the same way. If you approach a mentor and say, oh, you know, this young person's a little bit tough and, you know, it might be difficult and time-consuming and all the rest of it, that you're going to struggle. It's the same thing with apprenticeships. If you go to small businesses and say this is going to be tough, you're forgetting that in selling, in whatever capacity it is turning it around to the benefits of the individual. And the benefits of being a mentor are massive, you know, in your own network and growing that, but also, you know, just giving back to society and, you know, building a real friendship and relationship that lasts for years. Matching accordingly. It's what I said earlier, really. You know, really thinking about what that young person might need, whether it's someone of the same sex, same religion, same aspirations. It doesn't need to be exact. It doesn't need to be, I want to be in marketing, so you get a marketing manager. But, you know, quite often I think it needs to be retrospective rather than proactive. Find the young person and then find the mentor. Train mentees to be mentors. Quite simply, once a young person's gone through the, has been mentored, you know, give them the opportunity, give them structured training around it. You know, provide them opportunity to meet with people that have been mentors for a long time and think about how they might be able to give back. It's a great skill for them to have on their CVs, if nothing else. Once again, consider the inspirational and aspirational mentor. You know, think about having more than one person in place. You know, personally for me, I've got four different mentors that hold different roles and offer different things for me. And, you know, I like to think that vice versa, that I provide different things to them people. Get current mentors to recommend people from their network. Now, from my experience, it's quite often the same group of local business people that get involved in the school or the local authority or the college. Quite often they're counsellors, quite often they're people really involved in the community. That's great. You know, I'm not, not for one second saying that they're not the right people. But I think if you want to extend the number of mentors that are out there, you know, really start thinking about recommending people and, you know, when you're down the pub or wherever you are with your friends, that some people think, oh, I can't be a mentor because I'm not a CEO of a company or a director of a big business or a counsellor or whatever. But actually, some of the best mentors are people that are just going to work every day and just doing a really good job. Once again, be reactive to the needs of the apprentice. You know, any mentor is really always looking for them to set them challenging goals and manage progress towards them. And I think sometimes that gets a bit lost. So in finding a mentor, it's, you know, we put together packs and just make it really clear for people what their role is going to be. And because sometimes the friendship sort of grows and it ends up being, you know, a bit of a coffee and a chat, but actually really using it as a review process for the young person. So Northamptonshire County Council is one of the authorities that I work with. And Northampton University is here somewhere, so might know a bit about it. But I'm working with the County Council they're doing a retrospective mentor search. So they have gone into schools, they've asked young people, you know, what do you want to be? And the list is massive, but actually great. You know, it's not all, there were a few, I want to be a footballer, I want to be a pop star. And unfortunately, I don't know any footballers or pop stars to offer them. But the vast majority, it's, you know, I want to work in an office, I want to be a market trader. And from that list, you know, I'm not saying it's easy. We've all pulled together, looked in our networks and found people that are as closely matched as possible. And once again, by using that extended network, bringing in new people. It's a timely process because, as you can imagine, CRB clearing and all the rest of it, but by bringing together a group of new mentors, we're able to work with them straight away to say, you don't need to be nervous about this. This is what you can offer. This is the sort of conversations you can have. Getting someone to go along to the first few meetings, which sort of overcomes some of the CRB clearance in the first instance. And that's very much the inspirational mentor. But within the authority and the schools and colleges that are involved, it's obviously accompanied by professional IAG. You know, that we can't take away from the fact that any mentor will not be a professional career advisor. I do say in a lot of cases don't support the mentoring process. And, I know I keep going back to children's services, but the first time I took on an apprentice, I got a call from their social worker saying, "Oh, I've got to warn you about Bob." Bob's not his name. He has a really bad habit of, sleeping in on a Friday, and he drinks too much, and he's got this, and he's got that problem. And I thought, bloody hell, if my mum called up my new boss and said that, I'd be in a world of trouble. And if you get involved in the mentoring process too much, of course, you take away the opportunity for a young person to make mistakes and learn and be sheltered from that, and to be able to ask stupid questions if they're stupid questions, to be able to rant. I mean, I got a call from one of the young people I mentor on Friday, sort of really upset that their boss had had a go at them for being late. Now, that's fine, but it wouldn't work if I then went back to the boss and says, I did get a call from them earlier that, it's once the training is provided to the mentors and the structure's in place, other than sort of providing, the contact details for them to get in touch if there's a real problem, I'd say let the relationship harness itself and allow that young person to have the room to learn. Of course, once again, this is all about promotion, really. Get them to promote the benefits of mentoring. Very quickly. I've never had a mentor that said, "I hate this. I really don't like it." Because, quite often it's meeting someone once a month, once every other month, and sitting down having a coffee and, really helping a young person that's in an apprenticeship or wanting to go into an apprenticeship really think about the next steps. And, one of the things about apprenticeships is quite often they're long courses, and these are young people that have never committed to something as long as that before. And it seems like a lifetime. And to be able to have that chance to sit down and think about it, because you all know that dropping out of an apprenticeship can be an absolute nightmare for their CV because they've got half a qualification and it doesn't look good yet. There are much shorter, smaller courses that don't cause that, I suppose. I've been doing some quite clever things with authorities to try and promote both apprenticeships and the mentoring process. You can always come up with clever angles around Dragon's Den or in my case, The Apprentice. But, get the press involved, make an event of it. Quite often you'll be going to careers events and apprenticeship promotion events and small business engagement forums. And, there's a million and one small local business networking events that, get them involved and come up with a clever angle and, really promote. And once again, it's promoting the benefits to the mentor rather than sort of screaming from the rooftops the benefits to the mentee. I know they go hand in hand together, but, it's massively fulfilling and rewarding and good on a CV for a mentor as well. So, things to remember. God, that is really orange, isn't it? Be clear on the measure of success and what it means. Provide different mentors to meet different goals. Be realistic without being restrictive. And that's important. I don't by any stretch of the imagination think that you should be saying to someone, you should be on the checkout side of my level of success rather than the CEO. It's about pushing that young person and challenging their goals and motivating them to pursue the next step. Match mentors to apprentices appropriately. And once again, find the mentors once you've found the young people. And you can never be too old to be mentored, as I say. I've got four mentors, and it's a massively valuable tool for me to be both coached and have the opportunity for me to have a moan and a whinge. If I'm late and my boss has a go at me, you know, it works, it never ends. And some of you will be aware that in terms of sort of finding out a bit more on a national basis on mentoring, the National Apprenticeship Service has formed a partnership with Horsemouth to encourage people who have been through an apprenticeship to mentor and inspire others in a safe and friendly social online environment. So if you're thinking, you know, how would I even start going about setting up, you know, a more formal mentoring program, it might be worth visiting the NAS website and finding out a bit more about the partnership with Horsemouth. That's it. That's my details if you want to get in touch. But thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.